Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hi, this is Christy Golden, author of Star Wars Dark Disciple, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club. This is the podcast you're looking for.
We are happy to welcome Christy Golden, author of the new novel Dark Disciple. This amazing new novel looks at fan favorite Asajj Ventress in great detail and reveals much about her character during the Clone Wars. Ventress and Jedi Master Quinlan Vos, at the behest of the Jedi Council, team up to assassinate Count Dooku, and their journey opens up some amazing questions and will have you looking at the Clone Wars in a whole new way. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And at the top of the show, we should tell everyone this conversation is going to delve into some spoiler territory. We are pride ourselves on not being a spoiler podcast, but some of the things as people discover and break down this novel, it just begs to enrich your conversation with the analysis. And we have this amazing opportunity to speak with you. And you're certainly no stranger to not only writing, you've got quite the library for yourself, but this isn't your first foray into Star Wars either.
No, I got to do the 9-book series of Fate of the Jedi and collaborate with Aaron Alston, who is still very, very deeply missed, and Troy Denning, and that was quite the experience for a first adventure in writing Star Wars novels.
Yes, so you've gotten to tackle all of the major characters, basically.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
So let's look at Dark Disciple. How did the opportunity to write Dark Disciple come about?
Well, I was approached by Shelly Shapiro, and obviously whom I worked with very closely on the Fate of the Jedi series. And she thought it would be something that would be very suited to my interests and my talents. And it sounded really great. And when I got a chance to look at the scripts and the animatics, it was really quite exciting. It was a very deep, rich story, and it was very well fleshed out and had a whole lot of my favorite things. So I was very excited to be invited to do it.
And very much so. These are two characters that I personally, I can't wrap my mind around them too much a little bit. And this book was fantastic in doing that. Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos, they're such great characters. And what is it about them that you find so compelling, and what are some of the challenges of writing these two characters?
Well, the biggest challenge for me, especially with Ventress, is she is so well known and so well loved to tackle such a major storyline about her. Was a little intimidating because I knew she had so many fans out there who really wanted to see her again and to have something that they would really enjoy and could get behind. So I knew that I had to treat her with the respect that she had earned through her growth in the Clone Wars. Both of them were wonderful, wonderful characters, and they have so many similarities that you would not see on the surface. And both were very well developed. Of course, we had so much of Ventress that was already aired that I got to just, you know, sit down and binge watch and really steep myself in. And we only had the one episode of Quinlan that had made it to the air, but they had this full arc. It was obvious they wanted to take him to this very challenging and interesting place. And so it was all there, but it really was just exciting to delve into them and to try and think like them, and you know, what would they say, what would their body language be, and things like that.
Definitely. And I think it was even more unique because, like you said, you've got two extremes. You've got Asajj Ventress, who's incredibly popular, a huge fan favorite, and rightfully so. And then Quinlan Vos, for people who aren't really as steeped in the Legends line, like you said, he was in The Hunt for Zero, the one episode. But I didn't know much about Quinlan Voss. And when I knew that, wasn't it Comic-Con last year that they announced this book?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when I knew that Voss was the big part of it, I thought, okay, I was sort of ambivalent. But boy, did you bring him to life.
Thanks.
And he's one of my favorites now. I just was cheering for him. I'm hoping that they let you jump back in to talk more about Voss, but we'll get to that later. Let's look at Dark Disciple much more closely. Let's talk about the decision the Jedi Council has handed to Quinlan Voss and the moral and psychological dilemmas inherent as a result of this.
Yeah, this book really hits the ground running, and even more so the scripts did. I mean, the scripts really just opened with Quinlan Voss coming before the Jedi Council, and bam, here it is. And I remember thinking, whoa, you know, this is a big turn. And one of the nice things that you can do with a novelization is you have so much more room, and you have the ability to get into different points of views and, you know, create characters or scenarios that help serve, move the storyline forward. And one thing I really wanted to do was open with something that would at least help us understand why the Jedi Council wanted to go this way. And now it just now occurred to me, and this shows you something, that perhaps there had been some other arcs and storylines that we didn't know about that might have made the Jedi come to this decision. But for now, those are not canon, and I got to create, as they say, the inciting incident, which is the wholesale slaughter of refugees. And really just kind of show Dooku as being completely irredeemable, remorseless, cruel, and hopefully with that sequence really made the reader feel that their decision, you know, here we are, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. We cannot say that we are trying to do something good in this galaxy and let this man continue to do this. So, yeah, it was quite the decision, and I think it really does start the whole thing off with a bang.
It does, and I thank you for using initial inciting incident. As a teacher of literature, I love it. I love it.
You know, again, we talked about Ventress and Voss in this, and coming into this, we know there are two different sides of a different coin here, and, you know, I'm going to pull from what I think Dan wrote on StarWars.com. It has a very Romeo and Juliet feel to it. The chemistry is flipped in a sense that we have the light side and the dark side, and you do such an amazing job of bringing these relationships together. And what are some of the insights and how you brought this chemistry between these two beloved characters?
You know, it's interesting that you use that, because I think one of the most interesting things about this is the fact that the dark side and the light side really aren't that far apart after all. And we see that even with the Jedi's decision to send Voss on this mission. And, you know, where is too far? Where is the line? Where does the line need to be drawn? What is too much? And by the time of this story, Ventress has come very far from where we first met her in the very first episode of the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, she's gotten a lot grayer. And in the course of the book, we see Quinlan get a lot grayer. And so I think that's interesting, is because it's Star Wars has always been about how these things are so clearly defined, and with characters that are they're chronologically older, and they're certainly fully realized people. They come to this relationship as adults with histories, not needing anyone to complete them. They are fully formed, and they meet as two equals. And I think that's one of the most interesting things about them. And they bring their experiences and share them with one another, so that by the time things come to a head as it is, the waters are a little bit murkier about that.
Most certainly. And so you got to sprinkle, I mean, you mentioned the animatics and the scripts, but you got to put a little bit of your own view of these characters into this chemistry as well.
I do, and that's one of the lovely things about being doing the novelizations. You do have the space to do that. And one of the biggest changes that we made, and it wasn't even a change, it was just a fleshing out, was we had to show them getting to know each other. These are not people who are like, hi, how are you? Pretty cool, I like you. You know, I mean, they are very guarded. They are guarded people. They do not trust easily. And for them to, you know, even work together because they both work alone and they're known for working alone, for them to both work together, respect each other, develop a friendship, and then fall in love, that deserved a lot of time and care. And I think that was one of my favorite things about that, was that setup to really get to know them and to kind of get into them and watch them start to drop their guard a little bit and connect a little bit more.
It's very true. And, you know, personally, I love when they bring these books out and show the covers and everything. The cover itself is very dark. The characters are in shadow. It's a red background, very vibrant colors, very jumping off the page. And looking at this too, and reading the book itself, the characters are very adult in these moments. Like you said, they're very through their ages, they're aged up, and they've been through thick and thin. So, I mean, coming from a standpoint, I'm curious to know, how did you balance the adult themes with the playfulness that Clone Wars has, and then some of these younger fans might get out of enjoyment out of this book?
Well, it's not just the two of them. We have Kenobi, you know, who is, to me, you know, the heart of what it means to be a Jedi. And we have Anakin, who is not gone to the darkness yet, and he's still very playful, and he gets, you know, some of the best quips.
He does.
And, he was fun. He was really fun to write for. And so we have other characters. I introduced a character named Desh, who is kind of a foil to Voss.
Yes.
And also, Voss is – what I really, really liked about him is that this playful – I know that a lot of people were like, oh, no, they've turned my brooding Voss into a surfer dude. I've heard that lament online. And, you know, it doesn't – I don't know that those things are too contradictory. He is somebody who's very alive, who is very in the moment, who loves his abilities, enjoys them. And, you know, that doesn't make him, you know, lightweight. It just means that he has an appreciation and kind of this devil may care liking to have fun and appreciating the fact that he can have fun. And I think he brings that a little bit to Ventress. And the banter, there was a lot that was already there, but it was so easy once I got the rhythm of their back and forth and that little energy between them. It was so easy to write extra scenes for them and so much fun. And I really just did love that kind of back and forth that they did.
Well, it's fun for us as readers and as fans. And I think what happens with Voss throughout the course of the novel, it makes it even more tragic because you set him up in the way that you did.
Yeah.
And we talked about how there's a little bit of the dark and the light side, they can be very similar. They dance very well together at times, whether that's a good thing or not. I think the novel will show you. But the one person who's there's no doubt as to his intentions, that would be Count Dooku. So what kind of character is Count Dooku for you? And what is it like to write someone who is paradoxically charming and evil?
It's kind of one of my favorite things to do. You know, I think I remember having a conversation with people and I was like, you know, why are the Nazis perfect villains? And it's because they are intelligent and they're charming and they're cultured and they're evil. You know, it's perfect. It's wonderful to watch and to see it, you know, as Christopher Lee, and, you know, it was so sad to have lost him.
Yes.
You know, right after I had this, you know, sitting with this great character that he created. And, that's the thing to important to remember is that no matter how cultured and refined and elegant and sophisticated he is, he's very cruel and there's no kindness in him. There's that one glimmer, which I remember seeing in Clone Wars, where he actually protests a little bit to Sidious about killing Ventress. He doesn't really want to. And there's that little glimmer, but you know what? It goes really fast. It was there, you know, but it went and he didn't look back. And there's one scene, I know you guys don't want to get too spoilerific, but there is one scene where he really just twists the knife and instigates something that is really terribly, terribly cruel.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. You're talking about exploiting Voss's abilities, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good choice of words, by the way, twisting the knife.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just, you know, and he knows he's going to do it. That's the awful thing about it, is he doesn't even have to do anything. You know, he knows that. He's just like, you know, I'm not going to force you, but you're going to do it. And that's just to me. And I remember writing that, and I remember, and I was just kind of like, whoa. And I got on Facebook and I said, you know what? Count Dooku is really one evil, cruel person. So I was like, geez, you know, and it's there. You know, this isn't something that I created for the character. That's always been there, that ability. And again, a book has the opportunity to really kind of delve into that and bring that out.
That may have been, there's a lot of moments that will take your breath away in this novel. But that one right there, I actually gasped out loud, and I don't do that very often when I'm reading. So kudos to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. It was a great scene. You do such a good job with the, some of these dark themes are so difficult to write, to put on the page, like you mentioned. And this book especially deals with a lot of darkness. So this de-evolution with Voss, we see, like you mentioned, we start to see the return of the Night Sisters and the trials that Voss goes through with the creature. And what kind of went into that development of some of these powerful scenes? And did you have to, as a writer, maybe kind of break that down? Did you have to kind of pull open some of your darker moments and write these to get kind of the head knowledge?
You know, one of the I have two themes that I think I will be writing about and trying to figure out till the day I die. And one of them is the triumph of the human spirit. And how it is that some people keep getting back up and they don't give in and they keep themselves whole and they keep that fight going. That fascinates me. And the other thing is how is it that good people do bad things?
Mm.
How do we go down that slope? What is it? Is it this step? Is it this step? Is it, you know, it's fascinating to me. And this was, of course, you know, handed to me on a beautiful silver platter with an S and a W on it. And so I really, really did enjoy that. And to try to just these little things and, you know, how Ventress was trying to push him, but only so far. You know, you need to go this far and no farther, but you do have to go this far. And that scene is actually one of my favorites. It's a bit more elaborate than it was in the scripts. And I actually consulted a friend of mine who's a marine biologist, and he helped me create the creature so that it would be plausible, you know, a believable Star Wars creature that has, and, you know, so it would have some resonance and some, you know, grounded in reality and yet be this terrifying, frightening thing. So I had a lot of fun creating that. And that pushing, you know, I've got it. I've done the thing. I've done everything that you guys do as Night Sisters. I've completed that ritual, you know, and yet I have to go further. I have to go further. And why? And her reasoning for that, to me, was one of the saddest things. You
it
know,
truly is.
Why you have to go that far.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned you created this creature. And in reading that scene, too, it just I couldn't help but think of Luke's, his own dream sequence of on Dagobah and fighting in the tree in the hollow there. I was like, oh, this is perfect. She's done this so great. So,
thanks.
Again, kudos to you. Wonderful job.
Well, thank you. Well, a lot of, you know, and it's, if I've done my job right, the dancing between what was in the script and what I brought to it should be undetectable. So there's a lot there. I certainly had some great stuff to start with, but I flatter myself that it really did inspire me to bring forth some pretty cool things as well. So it was a really good collaboration, I think, with the great material and then the chance to expand on it.
Well, maybe it's not a stretch to say that the Force was strong with you, because I certainly think that came to fruition, and there's no question about it. In fact, and a brief side note, as I was reading, especially the characters from the Clone Wars that we already know, like Anakin and Obi-Wan particularly, I could hear Matt Lantern and James Earl Taylor's voice. So you did a wonderful job. The power of Ventress Voss and Dooku with their first face-off, and basically the climax of the novel. Actually, there are a few moments which I think you could say are the climax of the novel. But I know how I felt when I was reading this scene. How heartbreaking and painful is it for you as a writer when you're creating these kind of moments?
I hate them. I mean, I love them and I hate them. It's like, you know, I am a firm believer in, I believe it was Robert Frost who said, no tears in the writer, no tears in the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wept a few times at this. And felt the gut punch. And I think that's because part of my writing I am trained as I'm theater trained, and so I kind of drop into the character and I try to, you know, feel the character and experience things the way the character does, almost like I'm acting the part when I'm writing. And to really, I know I've done it well when I can feel my body reacting to it.
Mm.
You know, when I just feel, oh, you know, that feeling. And so there were a lot of great moments, and I could feel some of these things just reading the scripts. So, I mean, a lot of it was there, but to craft it and hone it and put it out there to make it so, like, hello, reader, there's your heart, here's my hand, you know, and to do something like that, if I can make the reader just kind of just go, oh wow, then I'm doing my job right. And but it is hard, and there were a couple of moments where I even was like, well, this ending, is there any way that, you know, this ending? And no, okay, had to ask.
Yeah. Right.
Had to ask. So yeah, I really did get very, very fond of them. They are good traveling companions. They're not necessarily, you know, Ventress may not be the nicest person, but she's a great person to hang out with, to watch in a show, and hopefully to read in the book.
She certainly is. And Corey's comparison to Shakespeare at the beginning, the way you described, what you just described, and now that I know about your training in theater, this would actually be, and I'm serious, Corey, I'm sure you agree, mm-hmm. this would be an amazing, like, Broadway show.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. Really, it would.
Well, when you mentioned your theater background, of your writing techniques and such, and now you say that, it is so, to me as a reader and a writer myself, I find that such a parallel to your writing too in this book. It's just, now you mentioned that, I was like, oh, that's perfect, exactly what I was seeing in this writing. So you've done a great job again with that, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, you know, again, we talk about Voss, and he's kind of a mysterious character coming into this. How much of his turn, I guess, was pre-existing maybe to the Clone Wars script? And what aspects did you kind of flesh out more fully?
It was integral, and it was definitely there. And as I said, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. There was a lot that was just very, very solid here to build off of. What I wanted to do was to really get inside his skin and to make the reader feel the repercussions of these choices and how he went deeper. I mean, to really feel how much he cared about Ventress and feel how bad it was to harm this innocent creature, and yet feel the power and how that feels too. So it was pretty much solid, but I think the experience of it was more that I brought to it. And also a little bit more. We took it a little more slowly. I think largely the trials were pretty much contained in one episode, and we all felt that, wow, you know, the pace could really benefit from just appreciating the gravitas and the power mm-hmm. of this journey and lingering a little bit more and maybe having another step or two here and there. And, media does lend itself to taking a little bit more time and going a bit more deep.
Yeah, you have the power and the ability to make characterization come to life. And when you're reading this book, at the end, everyone knows at the end of any book, any adventure book, any science fiction, any science fantasy, especially Star Wars, you know the ending is going to be big and loud and exciting. But what's amazing about not only what you do with the chemistry of these two characters, You managed to make the relationship far from trite and very real and very palpable. But the ending of the book itself was just cinematic and breathtaking at every turn. What do we learn as readers about Voss, Ventress, and the Jedi way of thinking by the end of the novel?
I think one of the things that was remarkable, I really enjoyed writing Kenobi much more than I expected. I liked the character, but I thought, wow, I'm really going to have a great time with these two characters. And then I'll have Kenobi come to, you know, kind of show the Jedi view on things and, you know, kind of meanwhile back at the ranch, you know. and that wasn't really what happened at all. I really, really got to connect with him. And part of the fun in this book was watching him, who he was not privy to what was going on, but he was getting bits and pieces, and just he didn't like this idea from the beginning, and that kind of sinking feeling, you know. And here we go, here we go. And so it was really great to kind of settle in with him and experience, you know, how awful it is to know that there's something going on but not know what. Right. And that's kind of where he was. You know, he's like knowing there's something going on. Voss, something's off. I don't know what's going on. And then by the end of it, I won't go so far as to say roles got reversed. But I will tell you that by the end of it, people are not necessarily who they were at the outset. And they have been changed. And the lessons can come from very different and unexpected places.
That's well said. Very well said. You know,
you should be a writer.
Oh, hey.
There you go. There you go. Christy, you have such a catalog of books out for available for readers to take hold of and enjoy. So I'm curious to know, too, what is your next project you're working on? Can you speak of it and tell us more about that?
Well, I hope to be able to speak of it soon, but right now I'm not at liberty to say anything about anything. So, but people can still follow me on Twitter. I try to stay pretty active, and I like to keep it simple. It's at Christy Golden. On Facebook, I have a fan page, and I have a just kind of come hang out with me page. Both are Christy Golden, and to shake it up and make it really wow and different, I have WordPress, and it's Christy Golden WordPress.
So, hey.
And a website, ChristyGolden.com.
That's branding for you links. Right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
We will put links to all of that in our show notes for sure.
Awesome. Awesome.
In fact, I'm liking the page as we speak. So now what we have, Christy, it's been such a delight to speak with you. And one of the things that we like so much about our show is that we get to talk to so many different Star Wars celebrities and authors, and often they're the same thing, and you certainly are a big reason for why people like Star Wars so much. So we would love to ask you our five questions that we ask each of our guests at Coffee with Kenobi, very much in the style of Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton, where we try to find commonality between what makes us tick as Star Wars fans. So we'll go ahead and jump right into the first question for you. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, your favorite Star Wars character?
Luke Skywalker.
Wow. Cool. Very cool. How about your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
The scene in A New Hope where Luke is watching the sunset and the music is so amazing and the lighting is so fabulous and he's just looking at the suns with this this longing to go and to become and to grow. And it's something that got its hooks into me, and has for me, it's like one of my top favorite moments in any movie.
If you collect, what are your favorite collectibles that you own?
Well, I actually don't, but I have a funny little story for you.
Cool,
sort of along
please.
Those lines. I was 13 when I first saw Star Wars, and when I was 15, I wanted to be Princess Leia for Halloween. And of course, back in this day, you know, they didn't have downloadable patterns online or tons of photo references. I just had to remember what Leia looked like when I saw her 2 years ago. And so I created the most homespun costume in the entire world. And I got, I went to like a florist shop, and you know, those little things that you can stick your flowers in. That was like the honey bun part of the hair. And I wrapped yarn around it, and it was so amateurish. And you know what? I cannot bear to part with that. I still have that somewhere. And so, yeah, I still have my 15-year-old Princess Leia outfit.
Well, those are the things that mean the most because you can't put a price on them. They're just personal, and they speak to you.
Yep. There was nothing that, you know, it was just a pure labor of love from somebody who knew nothing about how to do a costume. And so, yeah, it was a important, as you say, important pivotal time in my life.
Love it. So What particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
I have always been fascinated by the Force. And that's really from the very first movie through Luke Skywalker becoming a Master Jedi, through the EU, and getting to wrestle with this in Dark Disciple. You know, what is the Force? What is good? What is evil? As I told you, these are questions that just I love. I could ponder them, you know, six ways from Sunday. And so the whole idea of the Force and this power and energy and what we can do with it, because, you know, the Force isn't just a good thing. You know, obviously the Sith could be very powerful in the Force. And so what is it? What makes it good and what makes it dark? Do we make it good? Do we make it dark? Or is it already, you know, so yeah, as I said, I could go on for a while.
So you mentioned you're online on Twitter and Facebook and such. How else can folks get a hold of you if they want to get maybe something, one of your books, or is that directly from your website?
Yep. Just go ahead, and there's a way you can order on my website, and I have quite a few books. I have a lot of old ones that are out of print and hard to find, and I have just recently moved, but I am opening up the store, and I have made the decision that despite the chaos of my life and heading out to San Diego Comic-Con and not so long in the future, I am going to go ahead and try and sell some books from the website.
Wow.
By a Dark Disciple. I cannot mail them before the pub date. So if you wanted it right now, it would be best to pre-order it so that it would arrive in time.
We will certainly have plenty of opportunities on our website to direct it your way through Amazon.com and all the great places. And the book comes out July 7th, correct?
July 7th, 7/7.
Cool. How about that? Well, Christy, it was such a joy and a delight to speak with you, and we look forward to seeing what you come up with in the future, and we certainly hope this is not your last novel in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, thank you. I hope not either. This has been amazing, and I've really enjoyed it, and I would love to tackle some more.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having a cup of coffee with us here at Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.